America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Local experts answering your questions. Call 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045. Now, the Consumer Law Hour with Eddie and Chuck Farah.
855-765-1045, the number to call if you want to speak with our legal experts, Eddie Farah and Chuck Farah, standing by from the law firm of Farah and Farah, your sponsors on the Consumer Law Hour. Hi there, Scott Young checking in once again. Give us a shout, 855-765-1045, if you've got legal questions. The gurus are standing by to help. Fellas, how you doing today?
All is good, Scott. How you doing?
I'm making my way through the day, man, minute by minute.
Same here, man. Take us along with you. That's all we ask.
You don't want to go to my destinations. They're not cool or funky or swaggy or nothing.
I don't know about that. You got that thing going at Dos Gatos still, right?
Yeah. Every Tuesday night, Rock and Roll Bingo starts at 9 o'clock. Come check it out.
How's that working out so far?
I'm surprised at how well that's caught on. When I shifted out of the trivia business, I thought, you know, okay, we'll do something different. So we tried this, and I thought it might be a one and done or maybe a once a month. Every week, new playlist. Every week, it's a wacky good time, and the crowd eats it up, and I'm having a good time with it. So
yeah, that's what it's all about.
Come party with us sometime.
You got that going. That's great. I like it. I will have to check it out.
What's new in the law?
Well, I just want to kind of bring up something we've talked about numerous times and told people they've got to purchase uninsured motorist coverage. We've talked about why you have to have it. So this new statistic comes out this week that one in every four of Florida drivers do not have insurance. So out of every four drivers, one of them has no liability coverage. And, you know, that's a big statistic. And because, you know, Florida doesn't require bodily injury coverage. We've talked about that 1,000 times. And so what's happened is people, you know, they want to take the path of least resistance. They get PIP only. So you got 25% of the people driving around without any insurance. Without uninsured motorists, you're really vulnerable. You're in an accident. Typically, that would pay for your pain and suffering, medical bills, pays everything. Lost wages, it pays whatever you've lost. And if you don't have an uninsured motorist and you get hit by one of the 25%, you're out of luck and there's nothing you can do about it.
It's unfortunate that the bill wasn't signed by the governor.
Yeah.
Because the bill that he vetoed was to shift the responsibility to the, you know, person who's negligent with his car. But, you know, that didn't go through. So you've got to protect yourself.
I think there were, I know it. The bill overwhelmingly passed both houses. I think there were some, the way it was worded, maybe the governor didn't like it. I think it'll be back next year, and hopefully he'll sign it then, because Florida is only one of two states that still has this antiquated PIP no-fault statute. And, I mean, we pay in Florida, we pay 81% more than the national average for car insurance. And that's a lot of money. You start adding that up, 81% more. So, and what that tells me is the insurance companies are making a lot of money. That's what who's getting that money? It's the insurance companies.
Yeah, because, you know, they thought they were really against this bill. And I think.
Because it's all about the bottom line. But moving on, I wanted to talk about Wells Fargo. When a typical person does what some of these banks do, they end up in jail. You know, you go rob a 7-Eleven, you're going to be in the slammer. Ain't no doubt about it. But what some of these banks do, and, you know, all they do is pay a fine and move on, is really amazing. Wells Fargo just paid $500 million settlement, $500 million. To end the auto protection fee litigation. And what they were doing is, you know what gap insurance is? When you finance a car, you have an option to purchase gap insurance. And that gap insurance will pay, let's say your car gets totaled and you owe more on the car than it's worth, then the gap insurance will pay that difference. So if your car's in an accident, it's totaled out, and the insurance company says your car's worth $10,000, but you owe $15,000 on the vehicle. Well, the gap insurance will pay off the other $5,000, so you're not paying on a car you don't have. So anyway, people purchase gap insurance.
It prompts the question: why would you finance a car purchase for more cost than it's worth value? But
because that's
a whole other conversation.
Well, you know what? Yes, a good question. Why would you buy a car that's worth less than what you paid for it? But you know, because people get in, maybe because of their credit, they have to pay a higher interest rate. Maybe because of their credit, they can't shop around. They have to go to a
right. In which case, a $10,000 car becomes a $15,000 ticket when you're done with it.
You know, it's always Scott. It's always the people without the money that end up bearing the brunt. You know, I mean, I'm a personal injury lawyer. I see it. I mean, the people who least can afford it end up paying more.
I'm the guy without money. I bear it.
Yeah, the people who don't have money pay higher interest rates on loans. People without money have to get gap insurance. People without money can't shop around and use their leverage, and they gotta take whatever's out there. They gotta pay higher interest rates, higher loan rates. They have to take stuff to the pawn shop and pay 30% interest rates or whatever it is. So, but anyway, that's a topic for a different day. But anyway,
I've been lucky. The only thing I ever had to take to the pawn shop was the wedding rings, but didn't need them anymore. Well, listen, so I got a good return on it.
My cousin's in the pawn shop business. He'll give you a hell of a deal if you ever need anything. But anyway, getting back to this Wells Fargo thing, so they just paid a fine of $500 million. And because what they were doing is, once you pay off your car, if you pay it off, whatever's left on the premium comes back to you because you don't need the gap insurance anymore. You should be getting that money back in your pocket because now the car's paid off and you don't need it. And you've been paying this gap insurance as you paid your car off, so there's money left. But Wells Fargo was accused of keeping it to the tune of $500 million. That's real money, you know? So anyway, they had to pay that back. And I'm glad somebody did that. I mean, that's
probably took a class action lawyer to actually vet that out and prosecute it.
They had to return the unearned gap fees.
Right.
And, you know, some of these, and these banks, I'm sure, I don't know how it works, but they probably looking at your credit and what you do and how much money you're making, they may make you buy the gap insurance. You may not have a chance. You may not have a choice.
I know with financing through my financial institution, gap insurance is required on all new vehicle purchases.
Yeah, because they want to be protected, whoever the finance person is. And if you don't like it, then go find somebody else. So it's
a moneymaker. I mean, listen, it's, you know, you have to borrow more money, which you're paying more interest. And, you know, it's probably a product that the dealers get money on. Yeah. So, you know, it's
a win
for them.
It's a money. Again, who pays it? The people that can least afford it, which is the way it seems to be. Now, I mean, although today is Bank Bash Day, but here's another settlement.
Well, tomorrow's ice cream day, so let's do that.
Can we call today Bank Bash the Bank Day?
Absolutely. Tomorrow we'll enjoy ice cream about it.
Because today, okay, and I'll give you another crazy story, another settlement. Not a half a billion, but $41.5 million settlement against TD Bank. Because what they were doing is that they were charging $35 for any bounce check. And what they would do is they would keep submitting the check for payment, knowing there's no money in the account. So it's submitted for payment, and it bounces. Well, the bank would then resubmit the check for payment. So they're getting $35 every time they submit it. Ends up to being a lot of money. So this one lady, Mrs. Perks, was hit with $140 of NSF fees. So only 35 divided into 140, you can figure out how many times they submitted it. This is back in 2018 when she was trying to make a PayPal transfer of less than $6. So the bank was just resubmitting the check or the request for payment.
Like then $35.
$35 every time, like printing money. And of course, for you and I do that, we're in big trouble, you know. The bank pays a fee, they pay a settlement and move on, you know. So,
it's the way it is.
I know. Can I talk about another bank while we're at it?
Yeah, go, please. I can't
get enough of this. Bank Bash Saturday, hit it.
It is. Let's go for it. Okay. So, Bank of America does here's what they were doing. You have a credit card. They just paid $6 million to settle this. Mm. On the auto pay system.
Slap on the wrist.
Yeah, on the auto pay system, when you want to pay off a credit card, it gives you options. Do you want to pay the minimum amount due, the account balance? And you've seen, I've seen these before. You want to pay the minimum amount, the account balance, a fixed amount, and the amount due, okay? What the bank would do, the bank would automatically choose the amount due option. So the bank would only withdraw the minimum amount due, leaving balances that carried over and incurred more interest. So the bank would determine what payment you were making. Mm. And they would take out only the minimum amount, and of course, makes the balance higher, which means there's more interest. So somebody caught on to that and stopped them from doing it.
Man, they're getting them coming and going.
Oh, yeah, they know.
Listen, what was that, based on some sort of like a misrepresentation of payment options?
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, they would, if you chose.
Because you
like
know,
those of other banks, the credit card agreements explain that no interest will be charged if the cardholder pays off the entire balance.
Right.
Okay. You know how that is. You pay off the entire balance. There's no
interest.
No interest. But the people in the class action chose the amount due option, which they maybe thought was the total amount owed.
Yeah.
And they and the bank would just say, okay, amount due to us means the minimum payment you got to make,
right.
Like a $10 payment. You know, let that.
And of that $10 payment, you
let
know,
that balance ride.
99 cents goes to the principal, and the rest of it goes to interest.
And we're
your
making
18% to go up.
Yeah, we're making a bunch of money on the, you know, on the loan. So anyway, what it tells you is you got to be careful. We got to look at when you're dealing with, you know, any kind of financial institution. You got to look after yourself. And,
absolutely, because when it comes to money. They're in the business of making it, not for you, but for them.
That's correct.
And if you've got any concerns about that, give us a call. If you've got legal concerns of any denomination, give us a shout at 855-765-1045 here on the Consumer Law Hour. Eddie Farah, Chuck Farah from the law firm of Farah and Farah standing by to take those calls. And we'll be back for your calls after a quick break here on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Jacksonville, we're back on the Consumer Law Hour, 855-765-1045. If you got legal questions, our legal experts are standing by. Eddie Farah Law Firm, Farah and Farah, Eddie Farah and Chuck Farah standing by to take those calls, 855-765-1045. We've got Finn from St. Augustine, and he's got a question regarding gap insurance. Finn, you're on the Consumer Law Hour.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for taking my call, and good afternoon, Eddie and Chuck.
Hey, Finn.
The question that I have is a friend of mine, since we were speaking about the, where you guys were talking about the gap insurance, a friend of mine was in a vehicle accident last year, and he was deemed at fault in the accident, and it was a total loss. The regular insurance company paid their portion of the claim for the vehicle for the total loss. However, the gap insurance denied the claim because they said that he was deemed at fault. There is a pending case on him, and I don't want to be a reason to disclose for what particular reason it is to get the evidence convicted. We read over the disclaimer. One of the notes was basically saying that if anything, if it is all determined that it's your actions that caused the accident, they're able to deny that claim.
Wow. And that's another thing. That was in the gap insurance, the language of the gap insurance policy?
Yes, sir.
So you're paying for
Half coverage.
Half coverage,
yeah,
exactly.
See, I thought so that would, yeah.
And not just to distract or whatever, but the total amount that was deemed gap was approximately $8,000.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of money. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they're saying that he is able to recoup a couple of payments that were made on it because the vehicle was only several months old from when he purchased it. However, it's still that top amount of $8,000. So I think it was $7,500 is what they were missing.
So they were saying that because he was deemed at fault for the accident, the gap insurance would not go into effect, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
It's the hair on the back of my neck raising up because that just doesn't. The major auto insurance company paid it without question, and
they paid
regardless.
The, They paid the fair market value. Well, they paid, the insurance company's going to pay the fair market value, but the fair market value is a lot less than what's owed on it.
Yes, yes, and I understand it's the any of the fair market value is worth way more than what it was. They still pay that, my understanding.
Right,
but they don't care whether you're at fault or not.
Right.
So why is the gap insurance company?
Right, you're right. No, you're right. Your insurance company, you have to have at least $10,000 worth of property. No, you have.
No, well, he used his collision coverage.
Yeah, he uses collision to pay, and they paid. He was still short $8,000.
Okay, right.
And the gap didn't pay it because. Well, I've never, that's news to me. I've never, just thought Gap would pay it because the Gap covers, it protects the bank, okay? Because the bank wants to get all its, or whoever the finance company is wants to get all, they want to get all their money. So to me, they would want you to buy Gap insurance that would protect them no matter who's at fault.
Yeah, and why would they care about the liability?
Yeah,
what
do they care about liability?
That they're concerned
about. The bank just wants the money. They don't care if your fault or somebody hit you or you hit somebody else. They want their money.
I'd be interested to look at that policy.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to look at it because I've never seen anything like that. But
you're suggesting that I should advise him to go seek legal action.
I mean, is he in the middle of legal action right now?
He's probably being sued for the accident.
No, he's not being sued necessarily. He's just, still in the hole for that $7,500.
Yeah, they're going to sue him.
Still pending.
Yeah. Yeah, if the insurance doesn't pay it, the finance company's going to sue him. He'll have a judgment against him for the $7,500 plus attorney's fees plus interest. It'll be a $10,000 deal before he's done with it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. 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 I mean, he's got to. So you got to look at the policy. I mean, the problem is you're really controlled by the four corners of the insurance policy. You know, under Florida law, you're kind of deemed to have read the policy. If you signed it, You've read it and you've understood it, and you can't go back and say, "Well, they told me it would cover everything." That's very difficult to be able to prove something like that. So if he signed the agreement and it says we're only paying if you're not at fault, then I mean that's going to be difficult to overcome, unless there's some other state statute.
Like that could be unconscionable.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know.
It's really.
Well, maybe it's like a life insurance policy. We'll pay if you die, but if you kill yourself, we don't pay. I don't know.
Well,
this is a little different, though.
Well, like Florida, you can be partially responsible. What happens
then? What if I'm only 50% responsible?
Yeah.
Yeah, and do I still not get paid for my gap insurance?
There's also the fact that the case that, or I'm sorry, what was it like that the accident is still at trial. There's no conviction on it.
Yeah, I mean.
So.
Yeah, so you don't know what's going to happen, and, maybe it's not clear.
Yeah.
It may seem clear, but it's really not clear.
And if he goes to court and they deem that he wasn't at fault, that could be after the fact because that could take months, right? I mean, so they could already have gone into suing and remediation, I believe is what it's called, to the point where he's already making payments on.
Is he still making him payments, or has he stopped making payments to him?
Okay.
Is he still...
His account setup, I guess, was still the same as if he was paying off the car like normal.
So
still making payments.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's...
You think that the contract is clear because, it says, but it's not because in Florida, like we said, you can be partially responsible.
Yeah, I'd like to see a copy of that policy.
A clear contract, maybe there is no contract to that for that provision.
Yeah. Has he talked to an attorney about it? What you ought to do. Huh?
He has not yet, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me tell you what you can do, and it's the best deal going in town, is that you ought to call the Jacksonville Bar Association. For $50, you could talk to an attorney who specializes in that area of the law for 30 minutes. And these are lawyers that typically charge, $500 an hour. You're going to get them for $50 for 30 minutes. And they will tell you, they'll find you somebody that can advise you on that. I mean, I don't know. That could be a class action. I mean, it's really, how can,
Or you can leave your number with Scott.
We'll call you
back.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, once you leave your number with Scott, maybe I can find somebody to help you with that because I may know someone.
Simplest solution there. Stay on the line for me, Finn, and I'll be in touch with you in just a moment. Fellas, we got to take a break. We're up against the bottom of the hour. Stand by. If you've got some calls or interest, go ahead and reach out to us at 855-765-1045 because the Consumer Law Hour is going to continue after a quick news break here on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Jacksonville, we're back on the Consumer Law Hour, 855-765-1045, the number to call. If you want to talk to our legal experts, Eddie Fair and Chuck Fair from the law firm of Fair and Fair, standing by to take your calls. And we've got another caller lined up. We've got Steve from Middleburg, and he's got a question regarding a homeowner's insurance claim. Steve, you're on the Consumer Law Hour.
Hey, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure, Steve.
So about 16 months ago, I had a inspection done on the roof of my house, and I was told that I had hail damage and some other damage, and I knew I had a leak. So I got a roofing company to come check it out. They told me I needed a roof. I put in the claim. Insurance company sent somebody out. They told me they only wanted to give me $1,800, that they didn't want to pay for the whole roof. So the roofing company that I got had an insurance, an attorney company that they use, apparently. So they started acting on my behalf. And for like 12 or 13 months, we was going back and forth with this insurance company. They actually had to threaten them that they were sending letters to the state and everything for them to even respond. And then at one point, they had offered a settlement of $28,000. And by then, myself and the roofing company didn't see eye to eye, so I planned on using someone else. Well, the attorney got mad and decided to stop representing me because I wasn't using her roofing company. So the whole thing. Yeah. And now I had to sell my house, and I got quite a bit less for the house because the roof never got fixed, and I still have an open claim with the insurance company. And they're telling me that they won't work with me because the attorney gave me a letter stating that she was not representing me anymore, and she won't respond anymore either.
Right, so the lawyer withdrew from your case, is that correct?
Correct.
All right, so
well, is the insurance company willing to offer the $28,000?
Yeah, but you have to pay the lawyer out of that, too. They're going to make a claim.
Well, no,
that.
He withdrew. He withdrew from the representing him.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, did you try to get the $28,000?
I did. I contacted the insurance. Now, I've been going back and forth with them now for the past 4 or 5 months. This has been going on for almost 2 years. And like I say, we sold the house.
Right, but you have a loss because
you had to sell
you
for $20,000
less for correct. The house, for the sale.
Correct. And now she's telling me without the formal letter to her saying that the attorney no longer represents me, she's not going to pay the claim.
All right. So
and the attorney's not talking to me. And
Here's what the lawyer wants you to do. The lawyer, I'm just telling you where he's coming from. The lawyer wants you to fire him so he can claim a lien against any money you get from the insurance company. Okay. He doesn't want to withdraw. If he may have told you, I'm not working on your claim anymore. But until he writes a letter to the insurance company formally withdrawing, so if he withdraws from the claim, if he writes the insurance company and says, I'm not involved in Steve's claim anymore, you can go behind his back and settle for $28,000 and keep the money, okay? If you fire him, then he's going to write a letter to the insurance company stating, listen, before you pay Steve anything, you got to pay me, or you got to pay me right at the same time.
How did he communicate to you the fact that he wasn't going to represent you anymore? I mean, he obviously told you he's out of the case, right?
It was a C, and she sent me an email.
Okay.
And I forwarded that email to the insurance company, and because it wasn't sent to them, it was sent to me, she wants one sent to her.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. It went directly from the guy. Yeah, he's being slick. I mean, is this a local law? I don't need to know the name, but is it a local law firm or is it an out-of-town firm?
I believe it's yes, sir. And it's a woman. I don't know
okay.
her name, but
yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's whatever. Local, you said?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, okay, whatever. So yeah, that's the situation you're in right now. Like Chuck was right. If he had notified the insurance company that he was not representing you, you could go collect the $28,000 and not have to pay him a fee. But
she told
Steve
that she's not going to represent him anymore. It's the same thing. And they won't accept that.
They won't accept it from him. They want it from him directly.
Correct.
I would leave your number
they won't respond to me anymore now.
Well, have you tried to call her and say, let's work out something? Look, I'll take the 28 now. You take a reduced fee, like take $5,000 for your work. I'll take the $23,000. Have you tried to do something like that?
Yes. She didn't want to do it because she didn't like that we were sidestepping the roofing company that gave her the job. You follow me?
Yeah, no, but her ethical obligation is to you, not the roofing company. I mean, that's a conflict of interest. I mean, her loyalty, you're the client, not the roofing company. She's there to take care of you, not them.
Yeah.
That's a conflict of interest.
See, she didn't like it because I sold my house and took a loss, and I was still looking for the money. She's like, oh, I don't know if you can do that. And I'm like, what do you mean I can't do that? I've had this claim way before I sold the house or even considered selling the house. They're the ones that have been dragging it out, not me.
Yeah, and you had to take a loss on the house because it needed a roof. The people who bought it understood that.
And I got pictures. The minute they bought the house, they immediately had to put a roof on it.
Yeah. So, you got good backup for that. I mean, you're not doing anything wrong, but I see what's happening. The problem is your attorney, who's should have a has a duty to you, not the roofing company.
Right. Okay? So how do I handle that from here? What do you suggest?
Well, we could get.
I mean, I know somebody that could talk to you about it.
Our lawyer could help. Give some advice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a personal injury guy, but we have people in our office that handle those kind of cases. He'll probably talk to you for free just to let you know what your options are. How's that? I mean, I don't know if you could get involved at this point, but if you'll leave your number, I'll have him call you next week, probably on Monday.
But, that'd be great.
And just at least tell you, because I'm telling you with my limited knowledge what you can do. But I handle personal injury. This is a property damage claim, a first party claim against your homeowners. He does that, and he knows all the ins and outs. I mean, there probably is something you can do, and I'll have him talk to you about it.
All right, Steve, if you'll stay on the line for me, I'll get your information in just a moment. All right.
Yeah, Steve.
Thank you.
I
appreciate your help.
All right. That was Middleburg, Steve. Let's go over to Westside, Steve, and he's got a similar roof situation. Steve from the Westside, you're on the Consumer Law.
Good morning.
Hey, Steve. Westside.
Good morning. I understand exactly who the young man is talking about as far as the roofing company and attorney. My situation is that my house is only 5 years old. Hurricane Irma came along, started blowing off shingles. My wife decided to call a roofer. The roofer said it was wind damage. He got the insurance company out there. The insurance company walked all over my roof and said, this is shoddy workmanship. You need to go back against your builder. Builder said it's out of warranty. So then we started taking estimates from four different roofing companies, and one of them says, oh, by the way, we have a legal department that works with us. You need to sign this right here. Well, anyway, they've been dragging it out since before COVID. And I finally got to a point I told them, I said, listen, I've got damage in my house. The insurance company knows my roof needs to be replaced. It's time to poop or get off the pot, one or the other. Well, we've got COVID, and we can't get a hearing. We got this, we got that. In the meantime, I'm stuck with a house that I can't sell until I put a roof on there. So should I spend $20,000 to $25,000 of my money to put a roof on that house? Right. And the lawyer says, well, I can still go after them after you put the roof on the house. I said, if I put a roof on the house, what is his motivation to pay up? Yeah. Well, he said, I don't get paid until he pays up. I said, well, you know, you've already had the case for 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, see, the thing is, I mean, you have a right to change attorneys. You can do that. The issue is, like we talked with the previous Steve, is that you're going to owe that previous lawyer, you know, for all the time he put in the case. I mean, he's been working on it for, I don't know what he's been doing for 3 years, but I mean, he's going to come up with some bill that I put in, you know, so many hours and it's so much per hour. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, if he doesn't have a lot of time in it, you could change attorneys and get somebody that's going to do something for you. But.
Well, you know, I mean, I understand that it's hard to get an actual hearing because of COVID. But come on, they've even talked about doing Zoom hearings.
Yeah.
And I just told them, I said, listen, I want to roof it on my house.
Have you had a mediation yet? Have you had a mediation?
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, have the lawsuit
been... had mediation.
Has the lawsuit been filed?
Yeah.
Well, if the lawsuit's been filed and the insurance company has responded to it, the court then orders a mediation after that. Are you sure that everything's has been filed at the courthouse?
We are supposed to have a Zoom meeting late August, early September. But see, here's my problem.
What's it about? Is that the mediation? Faith. Is that the mediation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I bought a house in good faith, brand new, signed off by all these inspectors, signed off by the insurance company. I'm taking their word that everything was done correctly. And now that I'm told by the insurance company that it was shoddy workmanship, and it's the builder's responsibility and not the insurance company's responsibility. Now, my attorney has said, well, you know, you insured the house going by all this paperwork, so you've been collecting all this insurance money. It's time for you to pay up.
I know, but have you had somebody else look at the roof to see if it was shoddy workmanship? And that's the insurance company. They're going to always say that they don't have to pay.
I mean, I've had four roofing companies say the same thing.
What, shoddy workmanship?
Yep.
Okay.
Shoddy workmanship.
It wasn't installed properly. Okay. Now, I'm not sure, and this happened, you owned it five years until it occurred?
Well, no. We bought the house in 2015.
Right. And when did it?
And shingles started flying off during Hurricane Irma.
And which was 2008?
So my wife got a roofer out there that she knows. He looks at it and he says, well, it's wind damage. The insurance company comes out and says, no, it's shoddy workmanship.
Right.
So then we started getting other roofers involved. And I said, listen, I need to know what's wrong with my roof. Three other roofers have said it was shoddy workmanship. It was not nailed correctly.
Okay.
Some shingles were not even nailed.
Okay. So you bought the house in 2015, and when Irma was what, 18?
Something like that.
Okay, then. Well, you're within the statute of limitations. Why would you not just also sue the builder?
I tried to do that, and the builder said that it was out of warranty.
It's not a warranty issue. It's a statute of limitations. It's a defective.
Yeah, the warranty.
The warranty has nothing to do with it.
It's a workmanship issue.
Warranty is if the shingle disintegrated. Yeah. But like if his actual work is.
I even took two of the shingles and mailed it back to the manufacturer. And the manufacturer said that the shingles were not supposed to be sold in the state of Florida because we're subject to hurricane winds, and their shingles are not rated hurricane winds.
Yeah, that's a case
against the contract.
That's a contract issue against the builder. I mean,
that's a case right there.
You're still within the statute of limitations. You're in 2018. Breach of contract is 5 years. You still have an opportunity to sue the builder. I mean, I don't want to know the name. Is it a guy that's still in business and all that? The builder?
Oh yes.
Okay.
Yes, Drees Home. Drees.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but yeah. I mean, so really,
I would love for somebody to go after Drees.
Yeah, but why would your? I know somebody that could probably help you with that.
Okay.
If you were to leave your number, I can call. Huh?
I was fixing to say, let me call you on Monday or...
Well, if you leave your number, I'll call you back.
904?
Well,
not on the air.
Don't put it on the line. Don't put it on the air. Give it to Scott.
Give it to Scott. Just hang on.
See, the thing is...
Too many prank callers are going to act on that number if you give it out.
Yeah, too many prank callers are going to give it. But the thing about it is, you're within... Look, again, I'm a personal injury guy, but I think you're within the statute of limitations to sue the guy who built the house. And it has nothing to do with out of warranty or anything. It's a workmanship issue. The wrong shingle, the wrong inadequate installation. You've got a claim against the builder, okay?
I would love for somebody to go after Drees Homes.
Yeah, well, all right.
Well, I'll tell you what, Steve, stay on the line.
Hopefully I'll find you somebody to do it.
I'll get your information from you in just a minute, and you guys can follow up on that bright and ugly next week and see about getting some satisfaction coming your way on it.
I appreciate that.
All right,
much.
Stay put for me. Paul, I see you on the line. We're going to hit you after the break. If you guys will just stand by for a couple of minutes. One more quick break in our final segment of the Consumer Law Hour on the way here on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Jacksonville, we're back for our final segment of the Consumer Law Hour, 855-765-1045. If you got questions, got a couple of minutes to jump in. We got our last caller of the day. We've got Paul over in Palatka, and he's got an issue with regarding a homeowner's insurance claim and cast iron piping. Paul, you're on the Consumer Law Hour.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there. Hey, yes, sir. I'm living in a home that my granddad built in the late 50s. And it has, the cast iron pipe underneath the house. It's a concrete slab. And, I've seen these ads on from several years about cast iron piping issue. But I was wondering, I'm starting to have some issues with it. And I've had a plumber over here, and he's saying that this might be a pretty radical rehab, if you will. And I was wondering, I've had the insurance on the home ever since I've lived in it, since 85. And is homeowners insurance, do they cover that?
Yes,
or?
Well, it depends. Yes. I tell you, if you're having some issues, we have an attorney in our office that does that kind of thing, and he can talk to you about it.
Okay.
If you want me to, I can have him call you. It's a free consultation. It won't charge you anything. And then he can tell you, he can advise you what to do, because you want to be careful what you tell your insurance company. Or now, have they been out to your house yet?
I have not contacted. I did contact my insurance company one time. It's a local agent. I've talked to them, and they sent me the policy, and I saw no exclusions for it. But, the devil's in the details. Right. I guess I didn't see anything.
Well, yeah, Steve, if you leave your number with Scott, I can have him reach out to you on Monday.
Okay,
you
that sounds
at least,
good.
At least you can get an idea of what you should and should not do. He'll advise you on it.
Okay. All right, thank you so
Great.
Much.
Appreciate it. We'll see you.
All right, appreciate the call, Paul. Fellas, as always, I appreciate the opportunity to spend a Saturday with you. Looking forward to doing it again next week, when we'll learn some more about the ins and outs and ups and downs and all of the wacky wild processes that go into the Consumer Law Hour here on 104.5 WOKV, the Jacksonville's News and Talk.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.